This morning I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. I'm reading out of the New International Version. The day and the hour unknown. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a hand mill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Thus ends the reading. May God add his blessing to it.
Morning.
Morning.
Got a kind of phone book here to stand on. This is great. It's the first Sunday of Advent. Time to celebrate Advent, right? And to look forward to Christmas. And every year we celebrate Advent looking forward to Christmas. But how many of us during the season of Advent actually think about the end of the world? I know with this most recent snowstorm, I thought about the end of the world, especially coming from Los Angeles. But when we think of the end of the world, what kinds of images come into our minds when we hear about that, the end of the world? Perhaps for some of us, we think back to the Cold War with the Russians having the bomb and everything being destroyed in one great big mushroom cloud. Or maybe perhaps today we think instead of Al-Qaeda or North Korea or Iran getting their hands on a bomb and doing such a thing. Perhaps many of us think about CERN, that particle collider in Switzerland, that something's going to happen over there and create a black hole and suck all of existence into its density. I know I've got a couple of professors at seminary that are pretty concerned about that. Or maybe we think about the Ebola virus, or many of us who watch The Walking Dead, we think of the zombie apocalypse or something like that happening. Something that will kill billions of people, some disease like that, that will be the end of the world. Or perhaps we think of an asteroid striking the Earth and destroying all of living existence, like supposedly happened to the dinosaurs millions and millions ago, years ago. Perhaps we think of cataclysmic disasters when we think of the end of the world, earthquakes, tidal waves. Or maybe we think about the sun going black, or the moon turning blood red and stars falling out of the sky. What do we think of when we think of the end of the world? Disease, famine, and war consuming the earth until everybody is gone? Or perhaps many of us here also think about it in religious imagery. We think of that great showdown between the forces of light and goodness versus the forces of dark and evil. Satan and his minions finally being thrown into that fiery pit, and Jesus and God and all of us living happily ever after. What do we think about when we think about the end of the world? And do we think about that during the Advent season? And are any of these things, these images that I've talked about, are these the ways that God wants us to think about when we think about the end of the world? Should we listen to those left-behind Christians that say, you should get ready for the end because if you don't accept Jesus, you'll be left behind? Should we be like those Christians? Or should we get proficient at emergency preparedness? Stock up on supplies, build a bomb shelter, learn survival skills, get ready for the worst. Or perhaps we should live the way Jim Morrison of the Doors told us to live. I just want to get my kicks in before this whole place goes up in flames. So beyond preparing for the worst or partying it up before it all goes away, is there really going to be an end of the world? I mean, we humans may blow up part or most of it with a bomb. An asteroid may strike the Earth, wiping out a lot of life. Or we may ourselves may make Earth unlivable with the greenhouse gases and global warming that we always hear about. But the real question for us Christians behind all of this is not, is there going to be an end of the world? But the real question for us Christians is Jesus really coming back? Back in the early church, soon after Jesus ascended into heaven, there was this pervasive idea that Jesus would come back any minute now, any day now. But as time has gone on and Jesus hasn't made an appearance, it's become harder and harder to tell anyone to believe such a thing, that Jesus is coming back. And do we ourselves actually believe that Jesus is coming back? If we ourselves don't truly believe this, how can we tell or ask anybody to believe such a thing if we ourselves don't believe it, that Jesus is coming back? So what makes the church, what makes us Christians think that Jesus is coming back? Well, first, besides our text for today and numerous other places throughout the Gospels, Jesus himself assures us that he's coming back. One famous example is found in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. Here Jesus says to us, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may be also." Now, besides Jesus telling us that he's coming back, so do those who were closest to him. Jesus' own brother James tells us in James 4:7 to be patient until the coming return of Jesus. And the Apostle Peter tells us in 2 Peter 4:16 that we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we have made known to you that the coming return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle John tells us in 1 John 2:28 to abide in Jesus, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming return. And along with Jesus and his closest friends, the Apostle Paul also assures us in numerous places about Jesus' coming return. And finally, in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation, Jesus himself tells us again and again, multiple times, "Behold, I am coming soon." Now, of course, we all know that Jesus has not come back yet. At least, I don't think so. And I've heard it wondered by some people that if and when Jesus comes back, would anybody notice? In other words, will Jesus come back in the same way that he came to us the first time, in a humble manger somewhere out in the middle of nowhere? According to Scripture, no. According to what is told to us in the Bible, when Jesus comes back, everyone will know. Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, 27, "For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." And in Acts 1:11, we read about two angels telling Jesus' disciples that Jesus will return in the same way that you saw him go into heaven, amidst the clouds and in glory. So this question of whether we believe that Jesus is coming back is a matter of trust. Do we trust the words of Jesus in the Gospels? Do we trust the testimony of his closest friends and the tradition of the Christian church? That not only was Jesus a man who lived for a period of time on earth, but he was also the Son of God, who he said he was. Do we believe who he said he was, that he was the Son of God? Do we trust that he suffered, died, and was buried, and after 3 days he rose again? Do we trust that he ascended into heaven and right now sits at the right hand of the Father? Do we trust that he will come again in glory to judge the quick and the dead? And do we trust that his kingdom will have no end? If we can answer yes to all these questions, if we choose to trust the words of Jesus and his closest friends along with the witness and the tradition of the church, what then are we to do? If we choose to trust this testimony of all these people, what then are we to do? How then do we prepare for Jesus' return? To answer this question of preparing for Jesus' return, let's look back at our text for today. The first image we see starts in verse 37. Jesus tells us, "As were in the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Based on this imagery, we can throw out Jim Morrison's creed of partying it up until the whole place goes up in flames. Partying can be fun, but what does it matter in the end if that's all we've done is just partied? If we've lived our lives selfishly by just looking and seeking to feel good, we won't be prepared for Jesus' return. According to Jesus, we'll be swept away just as those in Noah's day were swept away by the floodwaters. Jesus reemphasized this idea in the following two verses, two men in a field and two women in a mill, and the people who are unprepared for Jesus' return are taken away, just like the floodwaters took those away in Noah's day. And then starting in verse 42, Jesus tells us to stay awake in the same way that a homeowner who knows a thief is coming stays awake to protect his home and his family. So how do we stay awake? How do we do what Jesus says to do when he says, stay awake? What does that mean? Well, Jesus tells us first in verse 36, this staying awake doesn't include trying to figure out the exact date when he's coming back. He says to us in that verse, concerning the day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. And it's so funny when I read this here in the Bible, how explicit Jesus is that no one knows how many of us Christians still try and sit and figure it out. When is that exact day that he's coming? And you hear about these groups with a charismatic pastor that go out on a mountaintop dressed in white, that they've sold all their possessions. Jesus is coming next Tuesday. Get ready, he's told us. Even though right here in this scripture verse here, Jesus says no one knows, there's still those people out there that think they've figured it out. But yet again, over and over again, people like them are disappointed. According to Jesus, trying to figure that date out is a waste of our time and energy. No one knows or will know when Jesus will return. This isn't part of our preparation for Jesus' return. We're not trying to figure out when it is exactly supposed to happen. This isn't part of staying awake and getting ready for his return. So what is then? Jesus gives us the clearest answer in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 31. How do we prepare for his return? And I'll read that to you here. Starting in verse 31, Jesus says to us, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Jesus is giving us the clearest answer here as to how do we prepare for his return. We are to live our lives in the way of Jesus, doing unto others as we would have them do unto us, loving our neighbors as ourselves. Because in doing that, we're loving Jesus, we're loving God, doing that and loving other people. In loving other people, we are preparing for Jesus' return. So I've come here today from Los Angeles to visit you all, but admittedly, I came really to visit my parents and my extended family here for Thanksgiving and my mom's birthday. But what did my parents do to prepare for my visit? The day before I left L.A., my mom was texting me, what kind of food do you want to eat while you're home? what kind of cereal do you like? And I thought, cereal? How about steaks? No. I was getting text messages from her, what kind of food to eat? You know, and when I showed up, I realized that they had gotten a mattress for me, because they didn't have a good mattress for me to lay on. And they had clean towels prepared for me in the bathroom, and they actually had extra coats and blankets and things like that, just in case I couldn't handle the snow and cold coming from Los Angeles out here. It was really neat to see that. And of course, that's what parents do, good parents do for their kids, is prepare for when they visit. Now, today is the first Sunday of Advent. The word Advent actually means the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. Hence, the Advent season in the church is a time of preparation for the Advent, the arrival of Jesus Christ. And in much the same way that we prepare for the arrival of our loved ones during the holiday season, we as followers of Jesus must prepare for the coming arrival of Jesus by loving others as ourselves. In Advent season, we not only look back and celebrate Christmas, the first arrival of Jesus 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, but we also look forward to his coming and promised return. As followers of Jesus, let's not just party it up this holiday season. Let us not get worried and anxious about hearing news of disease, famine, and war. Let us not get paranoid and obsessed about the end of the world and if and when it will happen. But instead, let us this Advent season prepare for the arrival of Jesus Christ. With the power and grace of the Holy Spirit, let us love one another just as Christ loves us. And let us lift our hands together and pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.